Following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Nathan Cones of Carroll Broadcasting and Kim Adams of the Denver Forum newspaper. Kim, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Hello there. Thanks to both of you.
Hi. This is Kim Adams from the Denver Forum. Knowing how much waste you are constantly finding in various sectors of the government, including the Defense Department, and with all the pressure from Trump's campaign promises to spend more on the military, is there a way to tie potential spending increases to reforms in budgeting and spending by the Pentagon?
I don't think there can be a direct tie-in, but what we can do with more money for defense is to encourage more competition for contracting. I think the president is commander-in-chief, but maybe also just be a good businessman. I think he's already taken some steps, like he did with the F-35, to get the contractor to take $900 million out of that over the next life of that contract, as one example. But I've been concentrating on another way to do it, and not just because we're going to spend more money on defense, but because it's essential to making sure that the money's spent adequately, and that's a financial control system, and working through the inspector general to make sure that the inspector general is doing their job to make sure that the defense books can be audited. It's a major problem that you can't seem to follow the dollar in the Defense Department. And if you can't follow the money, you can't tell where the waste is. So that's I've been working on making the Inspector General do his job to make sure that that waste is taken out of the system. And one of the things that's a very good tool for either the Secretary of Defense or the Inspector General is to make sure that they listen to whistleblowers, because people there on the line, in the bowels of the bureaucracy, they see waste, and a lot of times they don't get the attention that they should, and then they become what we call official whistleblowers, and then they come to Congress, and then they kind of ruin themselves with bureaucracy, even though there's laws protecting them. So protecting whistleblowers, encouraging whistleblowing, encouraging the Inspector General to do their job, and making sure that we get to following the money and through contracts that can be audited and expenditures that can be audited is the best way to do it. I'm ready now for Jessup. Carol.
All right, awesome. Senator Grassley, Nathan Cones, Carol Broadcasting. As a representative of Iowa, what's your response to a Des Moines school district recently becoming a sanctuary district?
Well, I'm glad to answer that, because I answered it yesterday, I think, for TV, and Iowa TV, too. I don't know much about Des Moines school doing that, so I don't want to just comment on that, but I can sure make a strong comment on sanctuary cities, and or sanctuary schools or sanctuary counties or sanctuary anything you want to call it. The Constitution is very clear. Immigration is a responsibility of the federal government, and the federal government's got a responsibility to enforce law. And the previous administration hasn't been doing a good job of it. I think this administration will enforce immigration law, all immigration law, and sanctuary cities are a violation of immigration law. And so then, just to have the federal government enforce the law, and the sanctuary city status won't do much good. Back to Denver.
There's been a lot of publicity just in the last 24 hours about Senate Rule 19, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Prior to the most recent time when that has been invoked, is that something that gets invoked commonly, or have there been times when it could have been invoked but wasn't? Can you give me some history?
I thought the other day that it should have been invoked when Senator Reid was saying bad things about me all through last spring and summer, when almost daily he gave a speech against Chuck Grassley because I was not holding the Garland nomination, but it was never invoked, and I wasn't one that was going to invoke it because that makes it real personal, and I wasn't going to take his stuff personal, even though he wanted me to. So the answer to your question is very, very rarely invoked. And if you ask me, in the 36 years I've been in the United States Senate, I don't know whether I could tell you one other time. That doesn't mean there hasn't been other times it's been invoked, but it's so rare. Okay, back to Carol.
Minimum wage has been a popular conversation recently, and there's been some counties in Iowa that have changed that, of course, as you're aware. What's your stance on who should be managing
the federal? Well, state and county, well, let's put it this way. Under federal law, states can do anything to the minimum wage they want to, as long as they don't lower it below the national minimum wage. So if states want to do it, a minimum wage in New York City or San Francisco would legitimately be higher than a minimum wage in Iowa. If a county in a particular state wants to do it, that would be governed by state law, and presumably in Iowa, state law allows that. I think that there might be a reason to have a higher minimum wage in New York City than, let's say, in Cooperstown, New York. So you could have some differences there. But within Iowa, I don't know whether there's a reason for having a difference wage in Cedar Falls than you'd have in Grundy Center. But that's for Iowa to determine, or that's for Grundy County and Black Hawk County to determine. But I think there's some advantage to it being determined at the state level, because cost of living is different from one part of the country to another. Okay, back to Denver.
Senator, as an Iowan, do you have any comments about the upcoming appointment of Iowa Governor Branstad as ambassador to China?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing for the United States. It's a big thing for Iowa. And I believe that he's got his paperwork in. I believe that he'll probably have a hearing within the next month. And then probably after we've had the hearing, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he'd be voted on, and then he would be ambassador, and he'd have to resign as governor of Iowa, and lieutenant governor would take over. And I think it's on a path to be completed, and it's just a matter of time. But I did talk to the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee that handles it, and he said just as soon as we get the paper, meaning he's got to, the paper have now gone to the White House. It's got to come up to the Congress with the actual nomination papers from the president to the Congress, that he'd be able to handle it in a very short period of time, and probably wouldn't take a long time to get the name of Governor Branstad out of committee. I do believe that I'll have an opportunity, I'm sure Joni Ernst will too, to advocate for the governor and actually introduce him to the Foreign Relations Committee. Okay, back to Carol.
Senator, Supreme Court nominee Gorsuch recently made some negative comments against President Trump, and how do you see that affecting his nomination in the upcoming?
Well, I think for Democrats that have said, is Gorsuch going to be independent of the president, as a judge is supposed to be, and I think what he said and what was reported he said, and that there may be some misinterpretations of what he said, but anyway, it shows a great deal of independence that ought to put at ease a lot of Democrat concerns about his being nominated by Trump and then maybe not feeling some obligation to Trump. Even if he hadn't said those things, I think any accusation that anybody on the Supreme Court is going to care about what the president's position is or not is ridiculous. And all you got to do is look at a 9-0 vote against Nixon, that Nixon couldn't lie and couldn't keep information from the Congress. So it's pretty well determined. I could go back to Truman and the Youngstown case and at the time of the Korean War, where the court said Truman overstepped his bounds as commander-in-chief, that he couldn't shut down a steel mill. So that's why they have lifetime appointments, so that they can stand up for the law and the Constitution. And that's what that ought to satisfy a lot of Democrats that had that worry. Thank you, Nathan and Kim, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.